Thank you for coming today, and we are at Bitachon Vad number 80, Baruch Hashem, B'Yayin Hara, and Shmonim LeGevura, as it says in Avos. Baruch Hashem, we've reached a bit of a milestone, and today is Chaf Ches Teves, and it should be January 9th. And we're taking a short break from the actual text of the Archos Tzadikim and learning a source, a makar that we did last time around, and it's in the end of Maseches Kedushin. It's about Parnassa. And we already know that Parnassa is one of the three main challenges people face, as the Rambam explains in the Mor Nevuchim when he's discussing Eov. And we know that Eov was the person who suffered so much. And as the Rambam explains about Eov, he says, "Hu mashal levar deos b'nei adam b'hashkacha." It has to do with people's attitudes and philosophies and their interaction with Hashem's divine intervention and providence. And comes along the Rambam and says, you know that some people say, "Ukavar yodata be'uram," their explanation, "Umam or kitsasam," what some of the Chazal say, "Eov lo haya v'lo nivra." Eov never was and was never created. "Ela mashal haya." It was an analogy, a parable. It was something that wasn't actual, but it's something to learn from. And my Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Wein, was fond of saying that when you say it's a mashal, it actually means it's a mashal to every person. As we can see, the Rambam explains, the Gemara Bava Basra, who talks about the identity of Eov, "Asher chashvu shahaya." There are those who say that Eov did exist, the Nivra, he was created. It's a matter that happened. But even those who say that it did happen, the Rambam says, "Lo yodu lo zman v'lo makom." There was no consensus or conclusion. There were different opinions in the Gemara regarding his time and place. Some chachamim said, "Shahayi b'mei ha'avos." He lived in the time of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. "Kitzasam amru shahayi b'mei Moshe." Some people said Eov lived in the days of Moshe. "Uketzasam amru shahayi b'mei David." Some people say he lived in the time of David HaMelech. "Uketzasam amru shahayi me'olei Babel." Some people say Eov came back for the second commonwealth from the Galus Babel to build the second temple, the second base of Mikdash. The Rambam says the fact that there's such a diversity of opinions about when and with whom and where he lived, the Rambam says that strengthens the opinion that he really never existed as a human being per se. And you can learn from each opinion, as usual, when there's a machlokes in Chazal, about where and when he lived. But the Rambam says it makes a lot of sense to say he never lived as an actual person. He is every person. Now, if he is every person, what do we get from Eo? He was an upright person. He was a perfected person, a polished individual, a devoted, dedicated servant of Hashem. And he very much avoided and feared transgressions. Here's some key words. He was a person who suffered. They applied, they fell in his lap, very major types of suffering, and they were techufos in quick succession in three areas. The mamono, in his livelihood, his money, his financial situation. Sound familiar? We sometimes feel that we're suffering financially, but we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us and taking care of us, and we're still alive and here and hopefully healthy. But that was the suffering of Eov. He lost everything. Uvanav. And he suffered greatly regarding his children, which can be extended, according to the Orchos Tzadikim, into difficulties with relationships that we have with children and other relatives. It's an area, again, of difficulty and challenge where we have to have bitachon. It's the second one. Begufo, in his body. He wasn't well. He was ill. Chas v'shalom. So, using the Rambam, as we did the last time, as our basis, there are three types of challenges, difficulties. But let's look at them as nisyonos, opportunities for growth and ascent and promotion. Like a nisyon, we know, is like a nes, a flagpole. V'sim oso al nes, like it says in Parshas Chukas. When Hashem told Moshe to make the Nechash HaNechoshet, the copper serpent, put it on a nace. The word nace often means a flagpole or a banner. When we suffer, or we actually endure, or maybe even more positively we should say it, when we work through a nisayon, a test, but that's a nace for us. It is a flagpole, it's a banner. We raise ourselves up, and also when we overcome it, we're performing a nace. It's the same word. It's also above nature when we come through it and we grow from it and remember the yesod of the yesodas, the youth foundation, the fundamental, that we don't persevere and we don't succeed despite our challenges. We succeed and persevere and overcome because of those challenges, because the challenges are a nace for us. They're a flagpole to raise us. So keeping in mind that Eov is every person, we're supposed to look at it and see, what did he do? What did he go through in these three areas having to do with parnasa, his income, his livelihood, and his financial situation, having to do with his relationships, and having to do with his health, both emotional and physical. Today we're going to talk a little bit about parnasa, because it comes up in the end of the Seder Nashim and the Mishnah and Kedushin. Parnasa is always on people's mind, some way or another. Because even if people have a lot, they're concerned about safeguarding it, preserving it, investing it, it should grow sufficiently, etc. So let's look at the Mishnah and Kedushin. Rabbi Meir Omer, let's talk about jobs, occupations. La'olam yalamed adam espino. A person should always teach his son, his child, umnus nikia v'kala, a profession that's clean and easy. Now, what's going on in this Mishnah? So, it's explained in Mefarshim, the Meiri says, what's an example? Maisa machat, working with needles, needlework, maisa rokim, embroidering, things like that. Some people say that nikia actually means it's innocent, it's clear from gezel, from theft. Nikia mi gezel. Kala, what does easy mean? She'ein b'chisaron kiss. The Aruch explained, you don't lose drastically, where like when you're investing, if you're at the mercy of the stock market, so to say, which Hashem, of course, is in charge of, but some volatility in certain occupations isn't suggested, at least if it's just too much for somebody. So Rameh is suggesting that one should be trained or train one's children to have a job which doesn't have the highest risk involved, because that is an isayon for bitachon, because the child, as he grows up, is going to be anxious about what's going to happen, especially the part about nekiah from gezel. There are some jobs that it's difficult to avoid being dishonest. So we know we have to be above board. We have to do things legally, not just halakhically, but dina de machusa, dina the Gemara says. We have to keep the law of the land, the civil law. And here's the key. What might a person say? A person might say, I need to get a different job. Maybe it will have to do with gezel. Maybe I might have to do things a little bit underhanded. No, don't say that. You don't need that, this Mishnah is telling us. Don't think, this job is not lucrative enough. It's not gainful enough. No. We're supposed to have bitachon. We're supposed to say, I have bitachon in Hashem. I will work. I'll be an honest worker. And I will have enough money, even if I'm not doing this and that, which might seem to bring me more profit, but they might not be totally legal and above board. That's a lack of bitachon. It's the same thing with evading taxes. I have bitachon that Hashem has enough money out there. When it comes to parnasa, the person needs to daven to the master, the owner of all wealth and possessions. And that is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So many times, all we have to do is think and say, who owns all that money? Who has all that wealth? These precious commodities, these precious materials. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, as we know the Pasuk says in the Treyotzer, Liyah Kesef, Liyah Zav. Hashem says, all silver and gold belongs to me. Do you think there's a limit out there? Hashem has it all. It's a question of distribution, as we've talked about. Yispalel Ribono Shel Olam. A person should daven to Hashem, as Mefarshim explained, that Hashem should send bracha and hatzlacha in the person's work, in the person's efforts, in the Masi Yadayim of the person. If we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha in our parnasa, the Mishnah is about to tell us something earth-shattering and surprising, that it basically doesn't matter what job we have. That sounds very controversial. It says, She'ein umnus she'ein ba anius va'ashirus. Every single profession has in it poverty and wealth. Really. That's what the Mishnah tells us. It's the Mishnah in Kiddushin, in the fourth parak, in the end of Asara Yuchtim. Every job, there are people who do this job. This is their occupation. This is their livelihood. And among those workers, there are those who are successful, and then there are those who are not successful. Shalo anius min ha'umnus. Because poverty does not come from that profession. You can't attribute it to the profession. V'lo ashirus min ha'omnus. Nor can you say that affluence can be attributed and tied only to the profession. Poverty doesn't come because of that profession, that livelihood, that career that a person has. Wealth does not come because of that career, because of that choice of a livelihood, of a trade. Because among every group of workers in any area, yesh aniyim v'yesh ashirim. There are some wealthy and some poor. Now, obviously, we know there's something called hishtadlus. We already went through this stage, this cycle. We studied hishtadlus, our efforts, yes. And there are some jobs, certainly, that bring more income usually. But we're saying here that there's no guarantee. You can't say, oh, it's because of that. Again, it goes back to the hishtadlus. Because I did that effort, so Hashem said, okay, you've activated the right switch, and I'll send you. But that can happen in any field, it says in this Mishnah, with certain limitations, obviously, and needs more detail to explain it. But this is the basic rule we have to remember. Ela hakol lefi zechuso. It all depends on the person's merit. Now, that doesn't mean how much of a tzaddik the person is necessarily. It could be how much the person davens. It could be how much the person's working on himself or herself, or how much bitachon the person has, more than anything. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, I'm reading the Mishnah in Kiddushin, Ra'isa mi'amecha, chaya ba'ov she'esh lahem umnes. Did you ever see in your whole life a wild animal and a bird that has a job? They have an occupation, a career? We see all the time wild animals. We see deer all the time here. Birds, there's tons of geese around here. You ever see the geese going to work to make money? They're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creatures. They make a living, so to say, without anguish, even though they don't have training and they don't have a career. But they still bring in enough food to eat. Shalom b'tzar. Ostensibly, presumably, usually, without suffering. There's a brayso in the Gemara here. Miyamai lo ra'isi tzvi kayos. I never saw a deer with the following career, that he goes ahead and he dries cut figs in the field and prepares them for, let's say, the supermarkets to sell. You ever see a deer with a job like that? Ba'ari sabal. I've never seen a lion carrying loads for pay. V'shu'al chenveni. Okay, the fox. Never seen a storekeeper fox. V'hemis parnasin shelo b'tzar. They are able to have enough food without suffering, without anxiety. Follow lo nivru, elo the shamshani. This whole animal world, why were they created? They were created to serve me as a human being. Meaning wild animals and birds and domesticated animals are created to serve human beings. Va'anin yivresi, the shamesh eskoni. And why was I created? To serve Hashem, my creator. Eino din, isn't it? And all the more so, a kal v'chomer. That I should be able to have enough money, enough material wealth, and it should be without tsar, without pain. This is the ideal situation. I shouldn't feel anguish about my income and about my livelihood because I have logic here. If they were created to serve me and I was created to serve Hashem, then it goes without saying, it's 100% logical. That's why it says, isn't it a din hu? Eino din, is it not a kal v'chomer? Isn't it absolutely pure logic? Of course it is, that I should be able to have enough food, enough everything that I need, enough money, without tsar, without having to feel anguish and fear and anxiety. That's a kal v'chomer. That's the ideal situation we're supposed to reach. But the Mishnah says, El Shariosi Maasai. Sometimes I might have corrupted my lifestyle, the way I act. I've done things that were wrong, v'kipachti es parnasasi, and I've taken away the ability to have parnasa, to have my livelihood without any anguish. Worry-free income, the Mishnah says, isn't necessarily guaranteed because it might have to do with my attitude. Now, what these words mean, it could be hinting to Adam and Chava, of course, that once they ate from the Eitz Hadas, so Adam was told, "Bezeas hapecha tocha lechem," it'll be with the sweat of your brow that you'll have a livelihood. The coats v'dardar tatzmiach lach, there'll be difficulties, there'll be challenges, there'll be thorns growing. You're going to have to weed out the stuff you don't want. It's not a free ride. It's not so simple. Yeah, but the only thing is we're learning in bitachon that according to the amount of bitachon is the success. So the more bitachon I have, I will have the paycheck. The more bitachon I have, it'll be more and more guaranteed, and it will be with less and less tsar. The more bitachon I have that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all the money and has the ability to constantly be mefarnes me, to give us enough livelihood, enough income, enough money and food and shelter and material and clothing all the time. All I have to do is have that bitachon. And later on in Maseches Kiddushin, there's one more part that I want to learn having to do with bitachon. So we just talked today about Parnassa so far. And we did say that Eov, being the prototype human being who faces challenges with his livelihood, his income, his Parnassa, financial challenges, monetary difficulties, but we can overcome that. Besides having the Hishtadlus that we're supposed to do, well, that's just what activates Hashem's bountiful bracha, as we've talked about multiple times. And then there was his difficulty with his relationships, and then there was his difficulty with his health. And those are all going to be talked about in the Archos Tzadikim, which we're in the middle of the portion in the Archos Tzadikim. But since we're in the end of Seder Nashim in Maseches Kiddushin, I wanted to share one more part of the Mishnah. And it occurred to me that there's a term called life insurance. Now, most people interpret life insurance as some kind of monetary compensation after 120 years, etc., etc. But really, there's another way to explain this. Life insurance is talked about in this Mishnah here. It's insurance for your whole life. That's a new pshat in life insurance. We have insurance, bitachon. Isn't it funny that the word for insurance in even modern Hebrew is bitachon? We have bitachon for our entire lives. What does that mean? What are the connotations of that? We don't need to have anxiety and apprehension about getting older because we can work through those emotions, as we see right here. Rabbi Noharoi Omer, Rabbi Noharoi, the Tana says, I leave aside all the different jobs, all the different careers in the world. This is the introduction to a large piece that's going to go ahead and strengthen our bitachon. I just teach Torah to my child. Now again, this doesn't have to mean that every person has to be in Torah full-time as his field of expertise and his career. It does mean, though, that whatever career a person has, Torah is our life. And that is the foundation and mainstay of our vitality and our existence. And he explains, "Sha'adam ochel mischara ba'olam hazeh," that a person eats from the reward of Torah in this world, benefits from Torah in this world. He's describing an indescribable insurance policy. He's describing an eternal insurance policy that when we learn Torah and keep mitzvos, then a person enjoys the rewards, the dividends, already in this world. But the principal reward endures for the world to come. There's something to look forward to also. Ushar kol umnios einon kein. If a person is occupied with anything else, meaning if the person thinks that my career, which happens to not be, let's say, full-time Torah, my career is my life. That's exactly who I am forever. Now, later, and even afterward, so the person's making a mistake. Because the only thing that endures is Torah. It's Torah and mitzvos. All other rewards come in this world, all other payment, paychecks for other occupations, for other activities that we do, it's only in this world. Kish Adam Ba, the day holy, only day zikna. When a person, chas shalom, becomes ill, or the person becomes older, what's going to be? If I don't have Torah and mitzvot and trusting in Hashem, things begin to look hopeless at that point. But things never should look hopeless because we do have Torah and mitzvot. Only the Yisurin, when a person comes into suffering. Now, I love what Rav Pinchas Kahati brings a beautiful shot here. What does Yisurin mean? When a person comes to suffering, he says it means, based on Mefarshim, Yisurei HaNefesh. We have emotional suffering. The most acute type of suffering that exists in the world is emotional suffering. Yisurei HaNefesh, Kegon Dago Vakas. That's called Yisurim. Worry and anger. Let's reflect on it for a minute. When something happens in my life that worries me or is provocative to me, that's called Yisurim. That's called suffering. That is called a challenge. That's called a difficulty. That means that that has been sent to me or has been presented to me, so I'll grow from it. It's a nisoyon. And it also is a kapara. The fact that something angered me, and I didn't become angry. Something worried me, and I work through that worry. That is success. Then we've won that battle. And it could happen every day, different levels of those Yisurim. Whenever these happen to us, though, if we don't have Torah, harehu meis barav, chas v'shalom, if a person only relies on gashmius, the physical material world, and everything you can gain from that, the person will not make it through then. How am I going to last? Abba ha-Torah ein akein. When a person unites himself or herself with Torah, clings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, continues to think Yudke Vavke with the same vowels as the word Yira, as we talked about last time, as the Mishnah Brura explains, and other poskim, it's a tremendous benefit to Yira when we think the Yudke Vavke with those same vowels that are in the word Yira, and we see it in front of us, we see that picture. El Mishamarto Mikol Ra. The Torah protects the person from all types of evil. This is what we call a life insurance policy with more than one connotation. It's a lifelong protection. Benaruso, when the person is young already. Benosteneslo Achris Bitikva Bidiknuso. What beautiful words, eloquent words of the Tana. Torah gives the person an achris, something to look for in the future, something to look forward to, something to hope for. And hope, tikva, biziknusa. There's hope, there's vitality, there's growth, there's optimism, there's brightness ahead of me, not gloominess, chas v'shalom. That's how it is without Torah and mitzvot and bitachon. If I have Torah, mitzvot, especially needles like bitachon, then I have achris v'tikva. I have something good, something beautiful to look forward to. Even in old age, even when the person comes to the hands of old age or suffering, again, we said the suffering was daigo v'kas. Even when things come that might worry me, I can preempt them. I can be ready for those challenges. And I say, I will not get worried when this comes up. Even when factors come up that are provocative, even when a behavior of a relative or a friend whom I love so much, but the person's having issues, when they start to talk to me, I know it's maybe going to be something that might anger me. It might be provocative. I'm ready for it. That's a type of Yisurim. That's something that might anger me. If I have Torah, and I have mitzvot, and I have midos, I work on this type of Torah we're learning, which is about Musar, and it's about bitachon. Even at the moment that I can't even learn Torah at that time. Sometimes a person's so distracted or a person's tired, can't learn Torah every single second. Still, the Torah that the person has learned, the Musar the person has learned, about bitachon, that stands the person in good stead. It's there as a reward. It's a very logical, positive consequence for having learned so much about bitachon. It's ready for me. It's a reserve. It's like taking out funds from my checking account, and I can use those funds, those bitachon gains that I have. And that's the reward of the exertion and toil we put into learning Torah, especially about bitachon. And the Mishnah continues, Benaruso Mahu Omer. What does it say about the person who's young and who learns Torah and has bitachon and joins with Hashem's mitzvos every single day and works so hard on them to stay dedicated to Torah and Avoda? The Kovei Hashem Yachalufu Choach. Those who hope to Hashem, and it's Lashon of Kovim, to wait, Yikaveh, like Tikva, those who wait for Hashem, those who anticipate Hashem's help. Yachalifu koch. They will switch out their strength. What does that mean? That means that they constantly renew and they reinvigorate themselves. The Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Mem, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. That's when people are young already. That when we're tired, then we get renewed strength. Hashem sends it to us. Bizikhnuso mahu omer. Yeah, but what about when a person's older? When our physical strength maybe begins to wane, what do we do then? Oh, there's another pasuk for that. That's Tehillim, Perek Tzadi Beis, Pasuk Tezvav. Od yinuvun desevav. People who stay devoted to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, learn about Bitachon and Amuna, and do mitzvahs the best they can, work on their relationships, especially Ben Adam Nachavero, they will flourish, they will thrive, like Tenuva, like in Alamichya, Tenuva Sasada, Yenuvun Beseva, in ripe old age. Dishtenim Barananim Yeyu, rich and fresh they will be. That means there's hope even for old age. We can still be productive, optimistic, we can still be smiling, we can still work on ourselves and our relationships as we grow older and older. Rashi explains, Yitzmuchu Tzemach, these Yached Tzicharon Le'esevasan. What will happen to people who remain the best they can, devoted to Hashem and have Bitachon? They will Yitzmuchu Tzemach. They will grow further growth, meaning more development and closeness to Hashem and elevating themselves and soaring in their levels, even at the time of their ripe old age. They will be rich, they'll be wholesome, and they'll be fresh. The same thing it says by Avram. The Pasuk says about him, Avram Zakein, Hashem Berechas Avram Bakol. Avram was old, and Hashem blessed him with everything. It's a bracha from Hashem to have that yishuv das, to have a serenity and a peace of mind, even in old age. It's possible. Gracious Chavdal Pasuk Aleph. Even in his old age, Hashem blessed him in the zechus of his Torah. But how do I know it's the zechus of his Torah? It's before the Torah was given. Because as this Mishnah tells us, and it's not just Avram, it's all the Avos and the Shvatim, etc., as the Or HaChaim explains, as the Mefarshim explain, Matzinu, we found Sha'asa, we found that Avram Avinu fulfilled. Avram Avinu as Kol HaTorah Kula. Avram kept the whole Torah, Ad Shalom Nitzna, even before it was given to us, before Matan Torah. Shenemar, as it says, Ekev, Hashem told Yitzchak Avinu, because of the fact, and this is in the gracious Chavav Hey, Asher Shama Avram Bekoli, that Avram listened to my voice, Vayishmor Mishmarti, he kept my watch, Mitzvosai, my precepts, Chukosai, my statutes, the Sorosai, all my laws. That's why Hashem blessed him in his old age. What is this teaching us? That we have a life insurance policy. From young to middle to old, we have this privilege, this ability to access closeness to Hashem and serenity, Yishuv Das. It happened with Avram Avinu. We know that he was able to perceive by looking at the building, which is the world, he could figure out the blueprint for the structure, that was the Torah. So we saw today that especially regarding Parnassah, but particularly and globally and inclusive of everything, we cannot be talking in Hashem. It's a lifelong privilege. It's a zechus and an activity. It's a labor of love to always work on it. The Merit Hashem, when we continue next time, we're going to compare, since we mentioned Eov, we're going to compare the challenges of Yaakov Avinu and those of Eov regarding what we left off last time in the Aruch HaTzaddikim, that Hashem predicts the times, the durations, and the amounts of everything that we partake of and experience in this world. So Hashem should help us that this should be a chizuk for us, and Amir Hashem will continue next time, and that's going to be Vad number 81, Be'ezras Hashem. Thank you so much for being here to learn today.